There we go. So, I was preparing this sermon. I was just impressed during my one of my Bible studies that I do every morning that this is what God wanted me to preach about today. And then as I began to make the preparations, I said, man, I think I've done this before. So I looked, and sure as the world, I had. But I never mess, I never leave anything alone. So I got it out, and I messed with it. And so, and Pat has pointed out that this is New International Version, not Holman Christian Standard Version, because I forgot to change the block. That's fine. I'm reading off of this, and she's got it, and I'll be here. It's all fine. But. So today we're looking at Luke 9:28-36. This is what was called the Transfiguration. And it says, about 8 days after this. Now, Jesus had been doing things, and he had had a big conflagration of people and so on like that. About 8 days after that, Jesus said this. He took Peter, John, and James with him and went up into the mountain to pray. Now, why would he take Peter, James, and John? A lot of people said, why would he do that? Well, Peter was Peter. I mean, you know, he was the guy who's like me, who would go out and say anything, anywhere, anytime. If you don't like it, then you can kiss my grits. So he wanted him there. John was his favorite of all, because John was this gentle guy, and this was what Jesus was trying to portray and having a hard time doing it. James, as it turns out, after Jesus left, he was the leader of the church. Everybody, the Catholics all think, oh, first pope was Peter. Well, if you're going to go back to leading of the church and so on, first pope will be James. But I don't think he was actually pope, neither was Peter. But at any rate, he took him up, went on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were sleepy, and they became, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at this point, at that time, what they had seen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help me to explain it. Guide us as we study it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Jesus had been out telling them about his death and what was about to happen. And he was saying this before the people. You're going to see me go to Jerusalem and they're going to kill me. And the people were freaking out. They're going, wait a minute, what are you talking about? We won't let that happen. But they're not getting it. They think he's just a great teacher. So if they kill him, they're just killing a great teacher, you know, and you know, this will really make them mad, but it's not a big deal. They don't understand. So then, three things happen when they get up the mountain. Jesus' face and clothes glow. This was like Moses when he would come out of the tent of meeting after meeting with God. And he had to put a veil over his face because he scared people to death. The way it was shining and glowing and his clothes were glowing. And so they knew he'd been in the presence of God. Moses and Elijah appear. Now Moses founded the Jewish nation as an actual nation. Abraham, they will tell you, is their founder because he was the one who came out of Ur and the Chaldees, and God said, from you I'm going to build this great nation, and he did, and all this. But Moses founded the nation. He said, go in there, kill the Canaanites because they have offended God. And when you've done that, take over their cities and build your nation. And God will be with you if you follow him. Elijah is going to return on the day of the Lord. Now, part of the prophecies about Elijah were that he would be coming back, and Jesus said that certain of those prophecies were actually fulfilled by John the Baptist. But you still see the Jews at the end of the Passover. The children will go to the door and look out. And they'll come back and they'll go, he's not there. And they'll say, oh, well, next year in Jerusalem. Now that comes from the fact that Elijah was supposed to come and tell them when they were in captivity to go back. And so, when they said next year in Jerusalem, for those 70 years, they were thinking, one of these years, we're going to go back to Jerusalem. And they did. But Elijah will actually physically himself return in what is called the Day of the Lord. He's one of the two witnesses in Revelation that come down. One of them is Elijah, and one of them is Enoch. Now, the two of them have a very special relationship. Neither one of them ever died. They were both taken by God.
I thought it was Elisha that went up.
No, Elisha was the one who watched Elijah get taken and said, and Elijah said, if you can see me when I'm taken, then you will get a double portion of my spirit. So, at any rate, that's why those two. They spoke about his coming death. Moses led Israel out of Egypt. Elijah will lead the nations when they oppose the Antichrist. Once he's come, they will be standing there in front of the newly built temple, and they will be calling out things. They'll be stopping the rain. They'll be causing water to turn to blood. They'll do all kinds of stuff, and they'll just scare the bejesus out of all of the people. Jesus was going to lead us all to heaven. He had to die first to pay the price. And that may be what they're talking about, was they didn't die. They will. It says in Revelation that they will come back and they will be there and they will be the two witnesses, and then they will kill them and they'll celebrate it. They'll leave them laying there dead for 3 days, celebrating. And then all of a sudden they'll rise up alive and take off and go to heaven, which will scare the absolute daylights out of everybody. But he was telling me he has to die first so he can pay for all the sin of the world. So now the disciples, particularly the three who were there, actually misunderstand who Jesus is. Peter wants to build booths, one for each of them. Now, if there's one for each of them, that means each of those booths is pretty much equal. Unless you bought a special one for Jesus, and, you know, it's still whatever, but his intention was just to build a commemoration for each one of them. It equates to them all being the same, but they're not. Obviously, that's what our question was about. God then shows up in a cloud. I mean, you have finally gotten God's attention here and ticked him off. He shows up in a cloud and says, "This is my son. He's different. Listen to him. Whatever he says, you go do it. Whatever he says is going to happen, count on it. It'll happen." So then afterwards, Moses and Elijah are gone. Peter, James, and John keep it all to themselves. Why? Because they still didn't get it. They still didn't understand what was up. So what is this for us? Jesus often tells us things that we don't understand. I want you to do this. You know, and maybe we don't understand it. I want you to go buy a motorcycle. And Pat says, no, you want a motorcycle. You need air, maybe water. But later she realized God wanted me to have a motorcycle to go minister to motorcyclists, particularly the Harley owners group. And we had a great ministry doing that. Because we don't understand, we try to fit it into our context. Sometimes we just have to say, I don't understand. I don't know what's up. I'm just trying to follow what I believe God told me. Pat very often will say, why are you doing this sermon? Well, that's what the Lord said for me to do, and we'll see. And so often, when that has happened, there's been like one person who needed to hear. And it really worked out. Jesus is overall, so we don't need to understand. That's one of the principles of being in the military that I had to learn right in the beginning. We're not going to explain this to you. We'll tell you what to do. You do it. Okay? In the Air Force, you say, Roger that, and step off and do it. In the Navy, you say, whatever, I, and go do it. You know? We just need to follow. And then marvel at the fact that it worked after we thought this is all going to go to blazes. But it didn't. It worked. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and go with us and help us to go out into the world and show you to them as best we can and help them understand that the answer to everything is Jesus. Period. Help us to lead people to know you. And help us to snatch them away from the devil. I would say, may he burn in hell for all eternity, but I know he's going to anyway, so I don't need to. Be with us and help us to be your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.